that evil that originated with Lucifer is being repeated every single day. How? When we see pastor after pastor after pastor decided to buy into the doubt about the inspiration and the infallibility of the Word of God. It is reproduced again and again when people seat themselves on the judge's bench and want to judge God instead of submitting to Him as the most perfect judge of all. The question that a lot of people are asking is this: what is the origin of evil? Where did it come from? And that's a question I'm going to try to answer in this last of three messages on the problem of evil and the manifestation of that evil. From these scriptures, both Old and New Testament, we know several facts about evil and the evil one. His name was Lucifer, from which we get the word Lucifite, meaning the light bearer or the shining one. He was among the highest ranking in the angelic hierarchy, in the angelic beings. God is the one who gave him lots of power and lots of authority. The only thing that God did not delegate to Lucifer is his own throne. No one can sit on the throne of God except God himself. You see, God created Lucifer as one of his principal servants, angelic being. Lucifer was the seal of perfection. He was not perfect, but the seal of perfection. He was filled with wisdom and beauty. And what I'm going to tell you is very important. Don't switch off, because this is really the core issue here. I'm going to come to it. You see, Lucifer being a created being, he's not perfect. Not perfect as God is perfect. He reflected the perfection of God. He was not the source of light. He reflected the light of God. He was a mirror, not the source of light. Light never originated with him. Light originated only in God. He merely reflected that light. He was over some of the angelic being, had authority over them. He was a senior angel, if you like. He was right up there with Michael and Gabriel. He was among the highest level in the heavenly hierarchy. He was privileged to voice praise to God. He was privileged to voice and bring worship to God. He was privileged to look upon the glory of God, something Moses could not do. Now, tuck this information under the belt in your brain, in your mind, okay? Because I'm going to come back to it, because it really is a foundational information. Tuck it away. It's going to help you to understand why he is the most dangerous adversary that a believer has. I want to explain this to you from a human perspective. I want you to imagine a person who's number two in the CIA. And that number two guy in the CIA defects to the enemy. Think about this. He defects to the enemy's camp. He knows all of the protocol. He knows the secret codes. He knows all of the old contacts. Now, do you understand why the Apostle Paul could say in 2 Corinthians 11, 13, and 14, he could say, for such are false apostles, he's talking about false preachers, he said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workmen, they're working in the church, they're workmen. He said, deceitful workmen, they are masquerading as an apostles of Christ. And no wonder, he said, for Satan himself masquerade as an angel of light. Satan knows exactly how to appear as an angel of light. That's why he's taken too many pulpits in America today. If you have not read my book, Know Your Real Enemy, I recommend you to read it. It will help you. But I want you to remember this. Satan, who is the source of evil, was created by God. Don't forget that. He was created by God. Just like Adam and Eve were created by God. And God created Satan, or Lucifer at the time, to worship the Creator. He created him to praise the Creator. He created him to adore the Creator. But there's more. God delegated to him some executive authorities. He assigned some of the angelic beings to him to be under his authority, to serve God's purpose throughout the universe. One third of the angelic beings were under his authority. You say, how many are these? We don't know. Even when kids talk about zillions, zillions wouldn't even do a justice to it. In Ephesians 6:12, it tells us that there are numerous ranks and classes and grades of these angelic beings. Again, in human terms, Lucifer was a top executive assistant to God, if you like. He was acting as an intermediary. He was a middleman, if you like. He would gather worship and bring it to the throne of God. Being a middleman is never easy. Being a middleman is probably the hardest job in the whole world. It requires humility. It requires supernatural maturity. It requires supernatural loyalty. Why? Because the closer you get to the top, the more ambitious you are want to take over the top job. But in this case, the gulf between the Creator and the creature is unbridgeable. The gap between the Creator and the creature is impassable. And yet, Isaiah 14, 13 and 14 tells us that that's exactly what happened. Lucifer, pride entered into his heart, pride and arrogance. He wanted to unseat God and take his place and his throne. Five times in those two verses, five times, he said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. I will ascend. I'll exalt myself. I'll sit on top. I will ascend to the highest. I will be like the Most High God. What happened to Lucifer? Jesus, who coexisted with the Father before all worlds in the Godhead, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus, from for whom and through whom the world was created. He said in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, I saw Satan when he was thrown out of heaven. I saw Satan fall from heaven like a lightning, he said. Now back to the question. Did God know from the beginning that pride is going to capture Lucifer's heart? Yes. God is omniscient, meaning that he knows everything ahead of time. Now I'm going to ask you a second question. If God knew that Satan or Lucifer was going to rebel against him and fall, could he have stopped him?
Yes.
Amazing. Because God is omnipotent, meaning that he can do anything. Now I know the third question is in the mind of many of you. Because I know I asked it myself at some time. If God knew that Lucifer was going to rebel, if God could have stopped him, why didn't he? On the face of it, had God stopped Lucifer from rebelling against him, it could have saved a whole lot of trouble, not just for us, but also for God as well, right? Because that rebellion cost him the blood of his son Jesus on the cross. So what is the answer? The closest that answer that we can come to in this life until we go to heaven and see it clearly, whether it's angelic beings or human beings, the closest is that God placed an element of free will within his created beings. Otherwise, we'll become mechanical machines, we'll become robots, or we'll become puppets on strings, or we'll become computer, just what puts in comes out. But listen to me, God wanted his created beings to freely love him. He wanted his created beings to choose to love him. God respected his created beings enough to place that element of free will inside of them. Scripture presents the sovereignty of God above all and the free will of man together. The Bible wants us to hold both in tension. And the reason people fall in an error is when they elevate one above the other and they get into trouble and they fall into heresies. We must have the humility to accept this. It's a fact. Lucifer's sin of rebelling against God, of pride in his heart, is reproduced on a regular basis, not only in history, but today. It was reproduced when Adam and Eve listened to Satan's smooth talking that brought doubt to their mind about the authenticity of the Word of God. It was reproduced when Israel arrived into the promised land after all that God did for them. Plagues over Egypt, protection of them, crossing the Red Sea, all of the stuff that God did for them. The moment they get into the promised land and they get blessed, they turn their backs on God. It was reproduced again by those proud Pharisees who refused to believe that Jesus is the Messiah that they've been waiting for. It is reproduced every single day when we see pastor after pastor after pastor decided to buy into the doubt about the inspiration and the infallibility of the Word of God. It is reproduced every single day. It is reproduced again and again when people seat themselves on the judge's bench and want to judge God instead of submitting to him as the most perfect judge of all. That evil that originated with Lucifer is being repeated every single day among many a professing Christians. How? By thinking more highly of themselves than they ought. Listen to Revelation 12:9. The great dragon was heralded down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was heralded to the earth and his angels with him. This is a third of the angelic being. How is he deceiving the whole world? Listen to me. First of all, he deceives himself. You see, he lied so much that he believes his own lie. And secondly, he deceives by never coming clean. Now, that's why Paul said, of his devices, we're not ignorant. Sadly, many Christians are ignorant of Satan's devices. That's the sad part. If Satan would come out in the open and tell you that he is here to deceive you, none of us as believers will ever fall in temptation. If he came out and up front and he says, I am Satan. And by the way, he doesn't have those horns and pitchfork and all that stuff. Man, he is the guy that walked out of the GQ front page. He's smooth-talking, miserable operator. He's subtle, he's conniving, he's maneuvering, he's manipulative. He appeals to our lower nature, and above all, he appeals to our pride. Oh, that's his most favorite door. Think of the person who says, I cannot believe in a loving God who allows evil and suffering and pain in the world. What is happening with that person? Satan has really worked him over. Just like he did it when he came to the in the garden. He did not come out in the open and out of nowhere to say, don't believe God, don't trust his word, don't take him at his word. Eve would have kicked him out, seriously. For she fellowshipped with God. She knew God. She knew what God said. In fact, when he tried to misquote God, she corrected him. She said, no, no, no. He said, of all the trees you can eat except for this one. So this cunning creature began to choose his words very carefully. After he gained their trust, I'm going to come to that in a minute. Did God really say that? Did you really hear God correctly? Did you really understand exactly what he meant by not eating of this garden? I mean, just incredible. Did God really meant what you think he meant? Did God really say what you think he said he say? You see, his conniving, smooth-talking made it possible for Eve to debate the truth of God's word in her head. Be very careful. Debating the truth of God's word in your head. Now, let me tell you, why is that? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals. You know what this is saying? It's saying that Satan really appeared to be trustworthy. See, he just didn't come out of the blue and start talking to her. He's been there for a while. They began to trust him. Today, there are deceivers who would say, oh, let's not just talk about the inspiration of the Scripture. Let's talk about equality. Let's not talk about these doctrinal foundations that you heard about a long time ago in your old church. Let's rethink church. Rethink church. Rethink Christianity. Let's talk about discrimination. Let's talk about free choice, whether to kill a baby or not. What is Satan doing, beloved? Listen to me. What is Satan doing? He's getting us to exchange divine knowledge with human reasoning. He's getting us to exchange obedience to the word of God for independence. He is getting us to exchange trusting in the authenticity of the word of God for being accepted by people outside of the church. After all, you can't fill a big arena if you speak the truth bluntly. Satan's deception always appeared to have human logic. Listen to me. What I'm going to tell you is really of uttermost importance. Don't miss it. Because if Satan manages to get you to debate biblical truth in your head, he knows he's about two-thirds of the way in. And here's the truth. Eve was cooked before she looked at that fruit. If he gets you to debate the right and the wrong emotional entanglement with somebody else outside of marriage, one husband, one wife, if he gets you to debate the truth about monogamous marriage, he's two-thirds of the way there. If he gets you to debate in your head the wrong and the right use of the gift of sexuality that God gave us outside of a monogamous marriage, he's two-thirds of the way there. The moment he gets you to debate in your head the fairness of biblical marriage, he's two-thirds of the way there. Why? Because these issues, beloved friends, have been settled in the Word of God long ago, and they don't need to be debated. They don't need to be debated. This is the origin of evil. And the evil one was presented in such deceptive way that people begin to question and doubt and debate the word of God in their heads. There's something else, a problem that many believers have. You know that God has forgiven you. that all of your sins, past, present, and future, under the blood, but you're not able to forgive yourself. Do you know what that is? That's pride. It really is, and comes from the evil one. If God forgave you, who are you not to forgive yourself? That is the thing that he tries over and over and over to get you to debate things in your head, debate the truth. And he gets people so thoroughly confused. I've met believers. They've become so thoroughly confused. Reverend Smell Fungus said that, and Reverend Super Duck said that, and Reverend... Well, you get so confused, you throw your hands up in the air and say, well, I don't know what the truth anymore. That's what he wants. How do you defeat him? How does a believer keep the enemy, not only from attacking him, but keep him on the run? It's really very simple. The answer is found in the infallible, inspired Word of God, not for me. And it's in James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself to God and the devil will flee from you. Because the sentence construction, not only that those two things dependent on each other, they're connected with each other, but they're dependent on each other. Successful resistance emanates from successful submission. What will make that old serpent of old run from you is complete trust in the goodness of God and His Word, is a complete trust in the plan of God for your life. Even in the tough times, even in the difficult times, even when you have question marks in your head, but you trust the Word of God.
For helpful resources from Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef, visit ltw.org. There you can find today's message. Why Does God Allow Evil? Part 3. You can also shop the store for powerful resources and download the free Leading the Way app for anytime access to Leading the Way programs. And be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
As you know, this ministry touches millions of lives around the world. And recently, our team hosted a gathering of the persecuted women who fled ISIS in Iraq. These women had experienced severe trauma, but God used this opportunity of this gathering to heal them and restore their joy. Now, I want you to watch this video and see how God is using your gift to help our brothers and sisters in Christ in this region. I know you're going to be blessed greatly.
The last year and a half, what we've seen mostly are the people who fled ISIS.
At the beginning, we used to go to churches. But after the threats and the explosions of several churches in Mosul, our visits to church became fewer.
There were Christian students who lived in these Christian areas. Terrorists would bomb the buses that they were using.
Explosions on a daily basis between the militias and the army. And we saw things. We saw mortars falling upon the city from all directions.
We had to leave Iraq in a rush, and we left everything behind. We didn't have any hope at all after we lost everything we ever had.
I went to visit their places. I couldn't believe it. The way they live, small rooms, say 10 by 10, they place about 15 people, two families just with a small divider between the rooms. When I went in, they told me, watch your feet because we always have big rats. They share three bathrooms, and actually they're not bathrooms. You wouldn't even think of going there. Many times their needs are physical needs. And basically what we do is we try to ease their pain and help them grow in their faith. We rented places for them, you know, small apartments, 20 apartments. And we also helped many churches with food parcels.
They help us for Bible study, for everything, and help us to came events for Iraqi refugees.
We helped with having retreats, and the last one was a retreat that was made for the ladies. And the main focus was to bring them to a nice place, help them physically by providing meals to them, and then help them spiritually. You could tell that they've been through a lot. Just looking at them, it would just make you cry. And after they were able to express how they feel and to see that there is hope. You know, one lady said, I thought there is no hope, but I know with Christ now I have a hope. By the end of the retreat, we were able to share with them the gospel, and many of them accepted Christ. The thing that really attracted our attention, that they have all these tents and caravans with big satellite dishes. We shared that we were leading the way with the Kingdom Sat, and most of them, you know, say, oh, we watched that. We have the Kingdom Sat. It's been a great help for us, and it really encouraged us. They would tell you, you know, the name of speakers and knowing Dr. Michael Youssef. And the most rewarding thing is when I look at the faces, when you give the people their gifts, you can see how they know it's a miracle from God. And every time we help them, we say, there are people in the Church of Jesus Christ who cares about you, and God loves you so much. And their faces, sometimes they cry, sometimes it's amazement. They really grasp the idea that it is a miracle from God, and God takes care of them.
My friends, you have just seen what God is doing around the world through Leading the Way. This month, you have an exciting opportunity to partner with us. This week actually is the last week to give to our June gift challenge. Will you pray, ask God, Lord, what would you have me do toward this gift challenge before it ends? I hope you will join us as we share the hope of Christ around the world. Don't forget to partner with us. Looking forward to hearing from you.
From fear to hope, from death to life. Join Leading the Way as we share the gospel 24 hours a day. From rural villages to closed countries to refugee camps to our very own nation. This month, generous partners have committed $400,000 to Leading the Way and are challenging you to match their gifts. With your participation, $400,000 can become $800,000 for the gospel through our June gift challenge. Your gifts help us broadcast God's truth 24/7, follow up with new believers, and help the persecuted around the world. Help us rebuild broken lives around the world. Help us bring the hope of Christ to the nations. Call or visit us online at ltw.org and give a generous gift today. Don't forget, this challenge ends at midnight on June 30th. Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth, Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef thanks you for your faithful support through your continued prayers and gifts.